Ladies and gentlemen, Chikarmi, children of all ages, and various others, welcome once again to the wonderful, wacky My Breakfast with Chikara, hosted by yours truly, Mr. PJ Drummond, and I have a distinct honor today to be joined by a man who is a luminary in the wrestling industry, as some would say. He is a host, a multi-time host of the Chikara pre-show Agogo, and he is here on the line with me today. He is the one and only Dr. Keith Lipinski.
Hey, hello, everybody. How you doing? PJ, thanks for having me for breakfast today, and you're paying, right? I mean, this is on you, right?
Oh, of course. I'm digging.
I have two kids to support now. I don't have time for these foolish endeavors like, you know, breakfast.
Oh, no, I understand. It's fine. I'm able to expense it all back to Mr. Wink Vavasor.
Oh,
so.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I know he's going to go through really quickly. I mean, I'm sure that extra side of sausage isn't deductible.
Well, no, that's not. He strictly prescribes 2 eggs, bacon, or sausage, and toast.
Oh.
That's it.
Yeah, some people have problems with Wink. I personally am a big fan of his metrics, but I mean, this whole thing about, you know, lack of sausage is really something that gets under my goat. Although, if we both got sausage, then it would make it a sausage party, and that's a horrible Todd Gerthian-like pun within the first minute. So there you go.
It is. And I've actually, our good friend Todd Girth will be amused to hear his name mentioned on this podcast.
He will. I could see him being very giddy right now as he's listening to many fine arts podcasts and then all of a sudden puts this on.
Exactly.
Let's never mention him again.
No, never again.
Ever. And since we're friends with him, it should be pretty easily.
Absolutely. So how are you, Dr. Keith? What's been new with you in the world of wrestling and possibly Chikara?
Let's see. What is new? Not a lot. Unfortunately, I recently had, or I didn't really, actually, fathers, when they have children, like to say that they recently had a child, when really, I didn't really do that much. I mean, like, I did get to wear scrubs, though, which was pretty awesome. I always thought the irony of, you know, for years, pretending to be a successful radio host by the name of Dr. Keith Lipinski and actually getting to wear scrubs and going to the operating room was pretty neat, and they really fit like a dream, Phil. I was really upset that I could not take them home with me. I really tried to smuggle out some scrubs, but no, things are very good right now in the world of Dr. Keith.
I must cut you off real quick, for you did there's two things I need to interject there. One, you did say unfortunately right before mentioning that you now have a second child in your house. And two, just to put you entirely on the spot, did you not ditch your wife at the hospital to come to the Chikara show in Chicago Ridge?
Well, okay. Ditching is such a strong word, PJ.
It is.
I mean, it really is a ditching because I asked for approval. There's a big difference between that and ditching. Right. My wife, for weeks, my wife's due date was April 30th, and with our first child, young Gavin, she went a few weeks late. So we were thinking, okay, we'll have this baby around the 30th. Mr. Quackenbush contacted me about possibly setting up another Chikara show in Chicago because I've been instrumental in their attempted visits and sabbaticals here.
Yes.
In the fine windy city. And, you know, one of the days Mike gave me was the 28th. And it looked like a great day. It looked like nothing was going on. There was a chance, though, that my wife could be giving birth. But come on, what are the odds of that, Phil? I mean, you know,
Absolutely.
People are born every single day. I mean, you know, people are pregnant on their last trimester and all these medical terms that obviously aren't suitable for a family-friendly podcast like this.
Of course.
So I was like, it's not going to be on that day. It's not going to be on that day. So, you know, first of all, Ring of Honor decided to interrupt by having a show on that day. Okay, fine. We'll run a show with you guys on the same day. We'll do some of this synergy thing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then even better was the fact that on the morning of the show, you know, I'm waking up and my wife is getting dressed and she says, "Come on, honey, it's time to go." And I basically thought that this was the greatest rib that my wife has ever pulled on me. I was just like, you can't be serious. This can't be happening today, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Like, let's you know, it was just bizarre because she was like, come on, we're going right now. We're going in a few minutes. My mom is coming here to watch Gavin. My water is breaking. It is time to go to the hospital.
Wow.
So the first thought I had was, this is what I get for being so involved and active in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. This is the gods basically, you know, casting me under. And I wasn't too happy, but at the same time, I was like, okay, that's great. We're going to have a baby today. Woohoo, exciting. And if she has it in time, hopefully I can get to the show. And, you know, hopefully my wife isn't listening to this right now. And if she is, she knows that this is all fun and games. And
of course.
If she doesn't, we luckily have another room in our spacious, palatial mansion now, so I could sleep in there if need be.
Perfect.
But, you know, she had the child at around, I think it was 11:23. And right after they have a baby, and my wife had to have a C-section, it wasn't like that she and the baby were going to be up and having fun and playing or doing anything at all. So
sounds like a lazy baby.
Children are not lazy, Phil. It's the parents that are. So, but after ever going through this, you know, I think that, you know, we both were, she wanted to rest and such. And if I'm there, I'm not going to be able to rest knowing that there's a Chikara show happening, you know, maybe, you know, 20 miles from me.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife fell asleep. The baby was asleep in the nursery. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit there and go. So I text someone within Chikara and basically said, yeah, I'm on my way. What do you have for me? Because usually they have me announce or do something at one of these wacky shows. And the message I got was, you're on for the third match, you and me with commentary. And I was like, oh my God. So literally I floored it to the lovely suburban solstice known as Chicago Ridge and got there right as that match was ending. But luckily Mike and all the good people at Chikara were just all fantastic sports. And all of them were very understanding if I wasn't going to be able to make it, that it was okay. Which, because, you
sure.
know, it was sort of was a big day for my family.
A little bit.
And a big day for me as well. But
mm-hmm.
Thankfully, everything went well without a hitch, and everyone's healthy, and the show was very good. So.
Exactly. And your daughter is obviously named, I would assume, either in honor of the date and the event, either Sarah, Daisy, Saturine, or Chikara?
We were going to go with Generica, being
the
female version of Generico, but alas, we did not. We decided to go with Evelyn.
Because it's a beautiful name.
It's a very nice name.
Yes.
So, and it's also a name, when choosing baby names, it's one of the hardest contests known to man. It's basically like almost like a Bill Kazmaier test of strength competition to
wow.
actually choose a proper baby name, because sometimes, you know, people can be sort of proper about what kinds of names they like and don't like, and there's also name association. And Evelyn was a name, it was a good classic name, and none of us knew anyone named Evelyn. And, you know, we checked polls, we checked the PWI, the top 10, to see if it was on there. It wasn't, which was good. So
perfect.
We were all very happy with the name, and she's been a lot of fun.
Good. I think the last person I can think of that I've known named Evelyn was, in fact, the author, Evelyn Waugh, who is a man, not actually a female, but it still works.
My wife always wanted a name that could be, you know, used for both sexes, so there
okay.
you go. And especially when you say it in your snotty, like, snotty bookworm voice, PJ. Like, then it really sounds a lot classier.
I have been known to read on occasion.
You are a scholar, if anything.
I attempt to be. I fail.
You do a good job of that.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, if people were wondering, people were sending me, you know, the IMs, the TXTs, and all sort of SMS messages asking me about the Chikara Source Rec show and why I wasn't on the pre-show. It was basically because I don't have the time right now, unfortunately, to, you know, I it's not so much the time, it's also the resources. Unfortunately, my private jet is in hock right now. I had to
Ooh.
Sell that
okay.
To basically, you know, afford this child. But
well, I did see that nowadays the average cost for a new child in a family is around $200,000, and that's not including schooling.
Oh, it's not a cheap hobby, Phil.
No.
This is even worse than MMA, and probably a passing fad too.
More than likely. Yes.
You know, it's definitely cost a few bucks here and a few bucks there. Yeah, that's the other thing, is, you know, like, you start thinking of things a little bit different, like. Like, record shopping has totally taken a new whole sort of different viewpoint now. Like, you know, do I really need this, you know, 12-inch vinyl that has a naughty picture on it that costs a lot of money because it's collectible? No, I'd rather buy my baby diapers. So,
or you could compromise and buy the kids Bop.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I assume that like all individuals that have children that become brainwashed by this, who are steeped in the Yo Gabba Gabba?
Gavin had a small period of time where he was very much into Yo Gabba Gabba. Then he had a big Elmo phase, and then he had Cars the Movie phase.
Oh, okay.
Which was okay until we discovered there was a sequel, which appropriately was called Cars 2, but didn't have an electric boogaloo in it. And Cars, if you've never seen it, Phil, is a fantastic Pixar film.
I haven't yet. I do need to see it, though.
Yeah, there has been times where, you know, Gavin would want to watch it. Like, we wake up on a Saturday morning, and Gavin would watch it all the way through. And it's a very good film. And there's a scene. It's about a town that basically has seen better days, where an expressway was right by it, and so this town is sort of dying. Mm-hmm. And you see that the town die through a period of time, and it's just even as a handsome, masculine man like myself almost got weepy-eyed as Rand. I believe it's James Taylor singing about a town, and just, you know, it takes my manhood to do that. But the problem with Cars isn't the first one; it's the second one, because Cars 2 is a horrible, horrible piece of crap. They took a fantastic first film about a subject that I don't even enjoy, like mm-hmm. NASCAR. I've never been a big NASCAR, even with Sparky Plug, never been a big NASCAR guy. But Cars 2, it basically deals with what was really lacking in Cars 1, and that being secret agents and bullet and chases. So,
wow. You know,
definitely something to, for a few weeks, Cars 2 and a kid show by the name of Caillou were the two banes of my existence.
Okay. Now, has he hit a dinosaur phase? I have a friend, his son is almost 2, I believe, and has fully struck a dinosaur phase already.
There is a show called, he's still really huge into Thomas.
Okay.
He recently, probably his favorite show right now is the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, the Marvel series from the 1980s, which features like Firestorm and also Iceman.
Nice.
That's probably his favorite thing to watch. And then also like Thomas. Like he was in a dinosaur train for a few weeks because it had trains in it, but I think he got bored with all the big words that were being used there. But
okay.
His favorite book right now is a book that I got him from the library about dinosaurs and how they eat. And it's basically a book that's supposed to help table manners, because my son is not the cleanest eater around. And
except for his daddy.
Yes. He's very much with me. It is sort of like eating with a human cookie monster, as PJ can attest, as he's actually gotten many crumbles of cookie and assorted some of his cheesesteak in his hair.
The cheesesteak is the worst.
As Nova calls it, his Taylor Swift-like haircut. So
I thought it was Taylor Hicks. Come on, Dr. Keith, you're getting a little tired here.
Taylor
Swift haircut. I don't have
try
big
and make
poofy
a nice
curls.
Reference, and it just goes to pot.
Yes.
So
yes.
But
gotta work on that.
I even forgot what we were talking about, Phil.
Well, we were talking about kid shows, and I did want to ask, since you mentioned the classic Spider-Man cartoon, is that a favorite of yours as a young man?
No. I probably would watch the Muppet Babies till I was 15, PJ.
Okay.
So I was a big Muppet Babies fan. I really wasn't that big into superheroes. I don't think.
Okay.
So, you know, to me it was, you know, maybe Muppet Babies and then, you know, Saved by the Bell when they still showed it on Saturday mornings. So
okay.
I remember one Saturday morning waking up late, my sister telling me about it. It was an episode where, you know, Kelly and Jesse were wearing bathing suits, and I was very, very upset. I was like, what? Like, you didn't wake me up for this?
Did you ever see the similar along the same lines type of show, yet totally different in no way, shape, or form? The California Dreams.
Oh, I never liked California Dreams.
You didn't like California Dreams?
I knew it was a horrible knockoff of some of the good things that Bell had, but just had it. I think it was that slimy manager character. I didn't really like him that much.
Okay.
But I liked it better in later seasons when they had the fiery Latina character as opposed to the wholesome brother-sister. And then
yes.
They also had the guy Jake, who was the motorcycle guy.
That's right. Very Jed Nelson.
You know what? I guess I can explain it very much. One of my favorite shows of all time is 90210.
And, it's a great show.
A fantastic show. Even though it seems that if ever I'm home, or if it's ever on SoapNet and I'm watching it, it always seems to be the later seasons, and it just aggravates me. It's not anything like the first 5 years. And the sad thing is, it aggravates me. It shouldn't aggravate me because I have all the early stuff on DVD. Like I could sit there and actually watch this. But the fact that it's actually on, and it's the episode where Brandon, when he's running the public television station, not the public television station, the campus television station, mm-hmm. and some guy takes everyone hostage. And, like, it's just, I think I ran into that episode two or three times last week, and I was just like, oh.
See, I tended to enjoy the later episodes a little more for two reasons. One, it was less, a very special episode of, and two, Shannon Doherty's horrendous crooked face was not all over it.
Yes, yes. What's even worse is when she came to the 90210, the non-BH 90210, the new one,
ugh.
And no one really made a big deal about her horrible teeth. But anyway, getting back to 90210
yes.
and the California Dreams comparison, if you remember the Ray Pruitt character, the biker
yes.
guy, and
beat Donna.
Donna, and like I always thought of him as the Jake from California Dreams, which is never a good comparison for any character in anything, basically. So.
Yes. I mean, I can definitely see the similarities, although Ray Pruitt was a little more brooding.
Oh, he did. And more importantly, that reminds me of The Heights, which really,
The Heights?
PJ, how can I talk to an angel? Do you remember The Heights?
Okay, I know what you're talking about now, yes.
It was another Aaron Spelling created early 90s show about Ray Pruitt and his band, and it got shelved after a year, and then Ray Pruitt, or the actor and songwriter Jamie Walters, ended up on the 90210. So
that's right.
The good parts of that and moving over there. Sort of like the Reverend was on Buffy after Firefly got canceled.
Right, right. See, now, in terms of musical shows, I recently revisited a musical show from my past and watched several episodes of Gem and the Holograms.
And how was that?
It was terrible. And more because of the number of things that the Misfits did to various members of Gem and the Holograms in terms of things that would be construed as kidnapping and things where they should be arrested. And Gem and the Holograms never took the step to actually,
And contact the other authorities.
Exactly,
there.
Yeah. But I was astounded by the sort of prodigious output of songs. There were like three songs with music videos in every single episode.
So they were pretty damn prolific, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. It was quite impressive.
That's something when I think of Gem and the Holograms, I don't think of a prolific time in our nation's cartoon musical history.
Mm-hmm. And particularly with any of the songs Gem sang, they could have realistically probably been sung by either Debbie Gibson or Tiffany.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or both together in some sort of, if they did some sort of unity, perhaps.
That never would have happened. Never would have happened. There was a feud going on there. And,
it was a blood feud to bring it back to wrestling, I guess, is what you're telling me.
100%. Did you pick a side?
You know what? I would sit there and say that I was, I think Debbie Gibson had the better songs.
Okay.
But Tiffany had the better hits. So,
okay.
I was always a little more partial maybe to Tiffany because of the fact that she did put Woodfield Shopping Center in the Chicagoland area on the map, as I believe the non-slow motion gyrating parts of the I Think We're Alone Now, a lot of the mall stuff, was filmed at the famed Woodridge Mall Woodfield, I'm sorry.
Woodfield, yes.
In Schaumburg.
Oh, so, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
You would think there would be a plaque or something there where, people like yourself, that aren't necessarily, unnative Chicagoans,
yes.
Dirty Islanders like yourself and Tama, would actually know that, where you could actually go towards, like, the epicenter of the mall and see, here lies the spot where Tiffany did, I Think We're Alone Now, a huge, huge hit on MTV. So, but Yeah.
People just don't appreciate the true history of America these days.
Or the music video form. Now right now, my favorite thing, probably my favorite show to watch since having Evie is VH1 Classics does 120 minutes, which was... Growing up, that was, I mean, there was a Headbangers Ball, and that was good, but the 120 minutes had, like, a lot of the alternative bands of the 80s and 90s that I wanted to see, and for some reason or other, way too much Blind Melon, which obviously made Rob Naylor happy, but VH1 Classics has this on, I think, like, three nights a week from, like, 2 to 4, so it's been really good, where when I'm, you know, holding Evie and she's trying to go to sleep, watching, and just watching some amazing, awesome music videos. Like, sometimes we'll play stuff, and I'm just like... there's no reason to see another, like the Rooster video in its entirety. Mm-hmm. But they played a Ramones video, and I'm a huge Ramones fan. I've never seen this video till today. It's them doing Something to Believe In, and it's a parrot, not the Poison song, though. I know you were thinking.
I was.
I know, much like everyone that watches those hair ballads commercials, I know you're a bad boy with a soft side. But
yes.
It's Something to Believe In. It's from the Animal Boy record, and it's a parody of Hands Across America and also USA for Africa. And it's just amazing the talent they got in this video. Like, Afrika Bambaataa's in there, Fishbone is in there, like the B-52s are in there. It's pretty. Weird Al shows up as well, and it's just, you know, and they do, you know, parts where they're talking about, you know, making a change and such. And Weird Al, of course, introduces himself as, "Hi, I'm Debbie Boone." So, quite great.
Amazing.
Yes. Something to check out, especially if you like that. And the best thing about it, though, is not only that they show great videos I've never seen or videos that I would like to see on a regular basis, is the fact that when the show ends, they always play one of the worst videos of all time. Like,
all right.
Three nights ago, Starship, We Built the City. Fantastic karaoke song. Video, never need to see it again. I don't need to see Grace Slick, you know, permed face in the San Francisco skyline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Mickey Grant, a shaved Mickey Grant, you know, knee deep in the hoopla somewhere else.
Right.
Another day, I believe it was Rod Stewart's Infatuation.
Oh, okay.
Another horrible song, not just because it had multiple videos. And then I believe last night's was Sting's Fortress Around Your Heart. So it seems like they find the finest, like, 1980s era VH1 video that VH1 would actually play before it became, you know, a great place for, like, The Surreal Life and the show with A Chance for Love with the Stallionaires.
Oh, God. I briefly lived with one Joey Eastman, and it was required that we were watching I Love Money, which featured many of the individuals from the various love shows that VH1 had put on.
Oh, man.
At least they were upfront about it.
Yeah, as they should be.
Yes. But yes, the concept of the Stallionaires, it was a constant amount of eye rolling. I looked much like The Undertaker throughout much of those episodes.
Well, because you were very good at those choke slams as well.
Well, there was that. There was that, yes. Although I preferred old school Undertaker where he just put his hand over your face and smothered you.
See, that was a good way to do it. I personally just prefer the 9-1-1 when it comes to my choke slam, because I just like a guy that just comes in there and that's all he knows how to do. Like, I think if anything that pro wrestling is missing right now, it's just a guy that just does a choke slam and that's it. Like, that's all the role should be. Like, just big guys, humongous guys, little talent, choke slam. Like, could you imagine how big the Great Khali would be if he actually did nothing but a choke slam? And think how great those matches would be.
I seem to recall he practiced a version of a choke slam that didn't go too well for him.
Well, besides that, I realized that after saying that.
And, of course, I had to bring it up.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, dear.
Oh, woe and misery, especially when you're Great Khali doing choke slam. But instead, he's just doing judo chops that obviously concuss people. So
they do. They do. Yeah. Good old Great Khali.
Oh. Wish he was going to be a King of Trios.
That, wow.
As a one-man thing.
He's a trio all by himself.
What about him, 9-1-1, and too bad the Giants still under contract because they could be Team Chokeslam.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember who might. Loch Ness passed away.
Big Dick Dudley passed away.
The Yeti.
Oh.
You get the Yeti in there, and he could bear hug love on somebody.
Oh, my
Much
goodness.
Like he did with the Giant, I believe, on Hulk Hogan.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Team Choke Slam for King of Trios 2012, please.
There we go. There we go.
Oh. You know, as people are excited about a Team Extreme, give me three guys that know how to throw, that just can only do choke slams, you know. And they don't even have to do it good, but that's all I want them to do, really.
Definitely. So. Definitely.
But, I mean, wrestling-wise, the only thing I'm really involved with right now is the Resistance Pro, so...
I understand, you know. Yes, yes. When is Billy Corgan being brought into Chikara?
Oh, but that would be something to behold. That would be something to behold. As a company man, that's all I can say here.
Absolutely. How about we leave it at that before it turns into some sort of... bad situation?
Yes.
but hey, more promotions out there, I will not complain.
Oh no, more promotions out there, and I you know, if it was up to me, I would have Chikara here every week, and we'd just have a big old barbecue and bonfire and wrestling match in my backyard, you know, and someone can watch my kid for a few hours while I relax.
You know? There you go. You know who probably would have been a classic person to look after your young son?
Vin Gerard.
Besides Vin Gerard.
I thought that went without saying.
Well, the Hydra, of course.
Oh, I believe Hydra would be a fantastic. I really wish they would remake Mr. Nanny with Hydra as like the main character.
That would be great. Yes. Only the second runner up would, of course, be the one and only Ultramantis Black. I believe he would learn your son some things.
I think Uncle Ultramantis could teach him many, many things.
Yes.
So I really think that something. I mean, I was a little upset. Our good friend Ultramantis recently had some nuptials about a year and a half ago, and sadly I could not fix up my sister-in-law and make him part of the my family, or as I like to call it, the Lipinski dynasty.
It is quite the dynasty.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Okay. You know, I'll be training my son to do choke slams any day now, and it's going to be tremendous.
Yeah, so. I think that's perfect. The only other random name at which I would feel the need to throw out here, because I was actually thinking about him yesterday, was where did Private Eye go?
Oh, that's a very good question.
I mean, I assume he's off helping people in need to find.
I would think he's probably doing some fantastic detective work somewhere.
I would assume so.
I would hope.
Yes.
We would have been great to see him during Anniversario weekend.
It would have, without a doubt. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Chikara's definitely had their share of classic individuals.
And if anything, that the show from Easton that I recently watched really felt, and this is a compliment, it felt like I was watching a fantastic guest starred edition of The Love Boat, maybe circa 79, 81.
Okay.
So I kept on hoping Vic Tayback would actually show up with Conrad Bain any second now.
I don't even know who any of those people are.
Vic Tayback?
Is he some sort of sports person?
He was Mel from Alice, and Conrad Bain was Mr. Drummond, your namesake.
I freely admit that I never, in living on the island with the three channels that I did have, I never once did see Alice or Different Strokes. At the time I was growing up, we did not have NBC. We only had two channels at the time.
Two channels?
We had CBS and ABC.
Okay.
That was
it. So you could have gotten The Love Boat, though.
Maybe, but I might not have been allowed to stay up to watch
it. Well, there was a lot of sauciness on the libido deck.
Well, there was, but the thing is, you've got to remember that with Bermuda being an hour ahead of the East Coast, any show that typically came on, say, at like 8 or 9 o'clock was an hour ahead. So
I got you. So when there was like a battle for a late night back in those days, the battle was between like Hill Street Blues and, you know, whatever was on at the, you know, 9 o'clock central time, the true time zone time.
Exactly. Or like when I was in college and starting to discover the joys that was wrestling, I discovered long before then, but really getting into all the different kinds, I did, for whatever reason, one of the channels at like at 1 a.m. switched over to the America One network.
Oh, wow.
So I remember it was, I think it was like Mondays. Mondays was ECW, I think. Tuesdays was International World Class Championship Wrestling, and where I first saw the Tasmaniac. Followed, I think Wednesdays was Memphis. Now this was 92, so I was seeing quite a lot of the amazing brawls going on between Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Lawler and the Moondogs.
Nice.
Yes.
See, that was a good time. See, like, by the time, like, that I really, really was getting into wrestling, like, they had on one of the Chicago's, like, UHF stations, they had, luckily, if you had an antenna, you could get the stuff from Memphis. But the problem was it was, like, you know, definitely past the prime of a lot of guys in that territory. So
sure.
It was sort of, you know... I believe the Iceman would show up every once in a while, and I don't mean the Spider-Man character I alluded to before, the super friend. I mean, like, literally Iceman King Parsons, and I forget who else. It was like, you know, wow, Bill Bundy's still alive, and he's wrestling, and he's in the main event against Brian Christopher. It's just like, wow. It was like these were like the later days, and I remember being excited for a few weeks. Because, Tommy Dreamer was going to come down there because this was during, this must have been 97, during the whole ECW Jerry Lawler invasion thing. Well, I think Dreamer did a few appearances there and such.
Okay.
And then I remember, programming the VCR to tape it, and then it was some paid programming show, and I was very sad.
That was very, very sad.
So,
yes.
You know, it wasn't as bad as growing up in Chicago, and, I mean, we had to rely on those ECW tapes from RF Video and other assorted people, just because we had ECW television 1997 for 1 week. It was 2 weeks before Hardcore Heaven 97, and I believe it was just that 1 week that was on that so many people complained that it actually was taken off the net following week.
That's so
because
sad.
I remember I was working my first professional job, and I remember I was bored at work, and I found the number for the Chicago Sports Vision channel that was showing it, and I asked, was ECW going to be on again? And they said that they had, they had lots of negative feedback to the program, and it was not be on again. And it wasn't even that, it wasn't even that extreme of an episode. I believe it was an episode that was taped in the Golden Dome in Pittsburgh, and I believe one of the most shocking things on it was Chris Candido dressing up like Taz, and I don't know if a lot of people found that offensive.
Many might. It depends. Was he dressed up as Taz or Tasmaniac?
No, he was dressed up as Taz, complete with the Team Taz towel,
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Now, I always wondered, did he fray those towels himself, or were they sold that way, or did he just buy a batch of really cheap towels?
I would think that probably he started with cheap towels, and as he rose up on the card to become ECW champion, I believe then he basically he could buy the towels that were frayed. But back when, he was starting off and such, back when he was putting a lot more money into the Team Taz dojo and Red Hook, when he was, sitting there training guys like Chris Chetty and the Amish Roadkill before he was a chicken plucker, I think during that time he sort of had to save on expenses. But then once you become champion of the world, you can sit there and, you can get the towels that will, that they look nicely frayed.
Definitely.
So.
Definitely. That was some professional fraying done. I think predating really the professional placing of holes in jeans.
I really miss guys wearing towels on their head during pro wrestling. Like, I really wish someone would bring that back. Samoa Joe tried for a while, but it just wasn't the same.
I think the towel around the neck has held more steadfast in wrestling.
Oh, they added the bandana around the face. Like, any of those things,
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a trend. But I think it's very important to keep your neck warm.
Oh, well, yeah, and especially during cold and cough season.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the bandana around the face, I would say, as has been proven by history, as when Vince McMahon personally dragged wrestling out of the smoky arenas, you don't really need the bandana to protect yourself from the smoke anymore.
That is a good case. Thank you, Vince, for doing that. Thank you.
Vince was doing a health service today.
So I personally want to take this time on my breakfast with Chikara to actually thank Vince McMahon for all he's done for pro wrestling. So.
I don't detect a note of facetiousness in your voice at all.
Not at all. He's given me a reason every time that one of his pay-per-view events is on to find somewhere where I could watch it in the comfort of my home without actually spending way too much money for it.
Oh, are you implying certain things, sir?
I'm implying that I've been a fan of wrestling for way too long, and when I was a youth, I would watch Scramble Vision and just listen to it because my parents necessarily wouldn't afford. They wouldn't necessarily buy me the pay-per-view, so we would like listen to them and such. And we always had the hope and dream that you could just sit there and, you know, like one day you'll turn on the TV during wrestling pay-per-view, and this is like, you know, in the late 80s or so, and it would just magically show up without you paying for it. And basically now whenever there's a pay-per-view on and there's an illegal stream, that's basically the modern-day version of that. Is basically listening to it, except you get a picture from someone else, and you're also stealing the show.
Of course.
I'm not about piracy, but I'm about creative piracy.
I understand.
A big difference there. Like I don't like lazy piracy at all. So, you know, like it's not like I'm sitting there. If my next door neighbor is huge into wrestling, you know, there's lazy piracy where I'm sitting there and I'm taking a pair of binoculars and looking into his, you know, living room. But there's also a more creative one where I'm like have my webcam based on there going through a router going to another room in my house.
That's much better, yes.
Oh, yeah, it's better for everyone. So. Yeah,
there's a sense of removal there, like laundering money. I mean, it's your eyes directly going through the binoculars. But when it's a webcam going over the ether in the air back into your router, that definitely changes the thing.
It's a lot more magical that way. The way you say it, it really seems like a magic thing.
Well, because when it's floating around in the air, is it really your fault that your router just happened to pick it up so that you could watch it?
It was there. It was just almost out of nowhere.
Caught
it and bang, you know?
Really, it's their fault that it was there.
Absolutely. And I have paid for two pay-per-views this year. So I think, honestly, I deserve at least one free.
Of course.
You know, if ROH taught me anything, I'm used to, you know, buying two and getting one, or in this day and age, 14 free.
Yes. Although I do know one of those pay-per-views was not WrestleMania. Mr. I'm going to host WrestleMania at my house. Oh, wait, we can't. I don't have furniture.
That's true. I did not have a couch. And we were better off for doing it at our good friend Ken's house.
That's true.
Everyone won. But I really felt bad about that because he was like, wow, I have this house. I would like to bring people in it. And then it just became a big, humongous hassle because it was like we tried to get cable in. They sat there and they said they wouldn't drill a hole in my house, which, you know, really made me wish that I had a drill at all times.
Yes. Well, we'll have to wait till next year to see your beautiful stained glass windows.
Oh, they are delightful. You know, you never thought that you could get Quackenbush's like I would say this is his goatee from like one of the first few seasons done perfectly in stained glass form, but you definitely can, as I've learned in my stained glass.
Wow. That's a beautiful thing. Well, on that note, I think it's about time we wrap this little chat up. Your eggs are done. The last little bits of runny yellow egg yolk are congealed on your plate. I think no manner of scraping with your toast crumbs will get it up.
See, I'm not a big yolk fan. So, I mean, if it was up to me, what I'm having for breakfast usually is a nice, like, my normal daily breakfast is a beautiful Cliff Builder bar, usually a chocolate mint. Or the almond one they just came out with is really, really good. But if I'm going out for breakfast, I'm definitely doing some sort of like a spinach and feta egg white omelet with if you have the Lumpa toast, which is a Swedish thing, which can be found in the Andersonville area of Chicago.
At the Kroner, I do believe.
The Kroner has it, but also Sleya, which is on by Clark and Foster, a fantastic little restaurant, probably my favorite breakfast place in the city.
Okay.
That's what I'll usually get.
Interesting. But,
getting hungry right now just thinking about it, and also the fact that we've been eating breakfast this whole time.
Of course.
We have to really play that up.
Yes. We have 100% been eating breakfast, and I think it's amazing that in this day and age,
we sound so clear when especially when you're eating all that sausage.
Exactly, and there's no scraping of forks and knives on plates.
Well, because you edit it nicely.
Oh, I do. This is actually being done on an entire. It's an 8-track system, actually, so that I can remove all of those sounds.
Well, that's the way to go. I just wish it was only like 48 tracks so we could possibly do our awesome version of Bohemian Rhapsody.
That would be pretty good.
So
that would be good. Well, sir, thank you so much for taking the time to come on here. But before we sign off, let's make sure we get out the variety of plugs. As they say, if somebody would want to interact with you in a digital form, how might they go about doing that?
They can definitely check me out on Twitter at Keith Lipinski. They can definitely go on my Facebook. I'm not that hard to find. They can also run into me at Chikara shows in the Chicagoland area or also the greater Milwaukee area. And also definitely check out resistancepro.com. I do commentary and so many other things for them, but I am not involved with the booking at all. So I would like that. I'd like that to be underlined here, Phil.
Underlined.
Hold on. That's the sound of me underlining right there.
That sounded like a double underline to me.
It could have been a triple underline, but I wasn't going to go that far. So that's a good thing about radio. But if any plugs I have, I definitely say keep on supporting independent wrestling. There's a lot of great independent wrestling companies out there right now. And definitely keep on supporting Chikara, because Chikara, without a doubt, is my favorite wrestling company on the planet today.
Absolutely.
So, and I'm very proud of my association, however geographically limited it is.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, to check out any of the latest news for Chikara, check out chikaraproga.com. I know they have made several announcements about the upcoming King of Trios. I believe the latest announcement was the newest team entering the Extreme Trio, consisting of Mr. Jerry Lynn, the always phenomenal Too Cold Scorpio, and, of course, the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer. And, of course, to see any of these fun men in action, you can go to smartmarkvideo.com, where you can order physical DVD copies, or you can download MP4s to watch these shows on your iPad or other device that you might have. So, at this time, thank you, everyone. I am... once again, your host, PJ Drummond, and I can be found on Twitter at BermudaRef, 762 maybe, or might just be BermudaRef. I don't know. I don't tweet myself.
You don't tweet. If anyone should tweet more, it's you.
I don't tweet ever. I'm really bad at those kinds of things because I generally assume that nobody wants to hear any of the sputum coming out of my mouth.
Well, obviously, you have an audience.
I suppose I do. I was shouted out by someone on the Death Valley Driver Board the other day, and that made me so giddy because Death Valley Driver was really one of those environments where I really got into wrestling when I first hit college and the internet was available to me. So
oh, yeah,
that made me a little happy. So I suppose I should throw some tidbits out to my adoring public every once in a while.
There you go. That one person.
Exactly. That one person on the Death Valley.
Probably pretty sarcastic and you just misinterpreted it.
It probably was. They are good at that over there.
So. They love their sarcasm.
They do.
As everyone does.
Absolutely.
So,
all right. Well, Dr. Keith,
when I said that.
Thank you again for joining me for breakfast, and I will talk to you soon.